Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Sharad Kutan. With me, my guest, Senator Liu Chin-Tong, also former Deputy Defense Minister. We're talking about, and we ended on how difficult it will be for Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin to govern, considering his support in Parliament, untested, and that has been the subject of much chatter. The expectation that Pakatan will move a motion of no confidence when a Parliament opens in May. What do you expect? Is that a likely scenario? A no confidence vote?
Not easy for a no confidence vote from the opposition to be accepted by the Speaker and by the Parliament, because in the normal circumstances, only government bills are considered and debated.
But private members' bills are allowed.
Are allowed, but the only private members' bill that was allowed in our history was Hadi's 355 bill. That was meant to create troubles for Pakatan at the time. But every day or every bill that is presented to the parliament by the government is actually a confident vote. Given that Tan Sri Muhyiddin has a maximum number of 114, untested, a matter of 5% saying that we're sick and we're in hospital, and if Pakatan can gather whoever we have, then we could defeat his bill.
Right. Yeah. So the question is, will it be on the Pakatan side a strategy of constantly defeating his bill regardless of the value of those bills, or will Pakatan have a much more nuanced position with regards to the initiatives from the Muhyiddin administration?
I think it would depend on how the Prime Minister initiates the bill. It depends on how he justifies the bills. It depends on how he appeals to the public and how he explains his rationale. I mean, if let's say he put a motion and say that does the parliament support what they call independence of judiciary, and to support the government not appealing against Najib's conviction, for instance, I think we will have to support. We will have to see Najib to jail. I mean, we cannot cause the government to fall just because Najib went to jail. That's what we want. That's what the nation wants.
Okay, what about MA63? It's something that the
Sarawakans didn't talk about. So I think every piece, the government will have to negotiate every piece of legislation with the opposition and with the public. The government cannot come in and bulldoze any legislation. The government will have to,
Okay, so there's that. I mean, you've already kind of sketched your sense of what the administration's challenges are going to be. But what about now the demands coming from UMNO that the administration act against the former members of the Pakatan Harapan administration, that there should be an RCI or that cases that were closed should be opened? I mean, do you foresee a tough time for the Pakatan leadership in terms of maybe legal action being taken against individuals?
On the day that the government fell, I say we may face winter, but we also have to be prepared for spring.
I love a metaphor when in Auckland, but let's put it this way. Are we likely to see, I mean, Malaysians are becoming kind of spectators of their own politics. This has been 3 weeks of parliamentarians and their drama. Nothing to do with the Malaysians, nothing to do with ordinary Malaysians, right? Are we likely to see this back and forth of revenge? Basically, UMNO feeling that they were unfairly targeted after their fall, and now with Pakatan falling, Pakatan members or leadership leaders being targeted too. I mean, are we going to see this politics of revenge play out?
It all
us?
Depends on what the Prime Minister wants to do. I mean, if the Prime Minister is prepared to take revenge on his former colleagues and it's difficult for the Prime Minister to justify. The Prime Minister was part of the cabinet. The Prime Minister was at the centre of the government that he has just toppled. And all decisions were made in the cabinet, of which he's part of. So I don't think the Prime Minister can go all the way to denounce all the decisions made in the Mahathir cabinet. But of course, if politics ended up in a situation in which he would take revenge, or his cabinet would take revenge on Pakatan, well, we will have to face it.
You know, one of the things that he said in his first speech to the nation after he became Prime Minister was that he wanted to be a Prime Minister for all Malaysians. It was a very conciliatory speech. In fact, in many ways, he reiterated some of the agenda of the Pakatan Harapan government itself, angering people who are supporting the Perikatan. So do you think that Mohyuddin is likely to go that way, as you said, and take the extreme position of taking action against his former colleagues, or rather try to normalize his administration
by
fine.
At the moment, you look at him, he was probably trying to normalize the situation. And I think deep in his mind, he knew that, he knows that the ground has not shifted. Those who voted for clean government, those who voted for better economic conditions, are still the same people. The same people will still be voting in the coming election for the same thing. And actually, for the last 12 years since 2008, we have sizable number of Malaysians voting for almost the same thing. I mean, Pakatan in 2008 was getting 47% of vote. In 2013, 51% of vote. In 2018, in a three-way split, Pakatan was at 48%. So the point is that we are now a 50-50 society, and the ground has not shifted.
But it could shift, right? I mean, the political dynamics can go forward and backwards, right? I mean, what do you think will be the main challenges for Pakatan Harapan in at least maintaining the core support for this kind of middle Malaysia, you know, a moderate politics and so on and so forth, or even extending it? Is there any chance out of federal government to do that?
I think the chance is there, because for the first time in the last 20 months or 20 over months, whoever distracted that Pakatan had now has to come back and sit down to think that what do we do together? I mean, the civil society members who thought that Pakatan did not do anything now realize that actually there was a coup attempt. Now realize that, well, we have to work together to preserve democracy, to create that democratic space that could be taken away anytime.
But so do you think we're equipped? I mean, do you think your party members are equipped? There's been a lot of criticism of your party. We actually don't have much time for this, but you know, that they engage in language that was tone deaf, that the optics was wrong, that they just don't know how to deal with cultural difference, so on and so forth. Is there a lot of leveling up that everybody has to do?
I think everyone has to learn something from the episode. I mean, there were people who did not see the coup attempt. There was really visible in October last year, but no one took attention, or not many people took attention. So I think as a society, we all have to learn that if we don't preserve the democratic space, it can just be taken away.
Okay, very quick answer. Can politicians learn new tricks?
Yeah, of course.
You sure?
Sure.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for your optimism that perhaps
Thank
not
you.
All is lost, at least for those who believe in a very different type of Malaysia. That's all we have for Consider This. I'm Sharad Kutin, only on Astro One. Thank you.